point? Like
the level of people that hit you up, or maybe like people coming and going, or a lesson that you learned, or like oh damn, I didn't expect it to happen this fast. I'm just saying, I want to learn. That's
everything
why.
Is. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect it to happen that fast. Mm. Everything is. Mm. Other than that, I kind of like. I know that people come and go. People fall off. People, because nobody's gonna be work harder than the person who has the idea to do it.
Of course.
Mm. You know what I'm saying? But it take a team to make it make sense. Mm. Which is what we grinding, man. Mm-hmm. Everybody grinding, man. We come. This is a passion project, and it's growing like organically. So I fuck with the growth of this.
I fuck with that.
I can't even really say like nothing bad, because I take everything as a lesson. Like all of the missed episodes, or the deleted episodes, or you know those things. I feel like what's going to happen is going to happen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So everything that I've been through with this is expected. To be honest with you,
I feel that.
It's
okay.
Like you got. I've been taking everything with this. Okay, cool. Gotta breathe.
This is good.
We just did the.
It's all right. It's all right.
It was so funny.
You was inspiring.
That was Red's laugh right there. You know, Red.
I don't think so. I don't know.
The comedian Red.
Oh yeah.
That was
his
laugh right there. Yeah, that was his laugh. Damn it. But no, even with the party we had for the 1 million downloads.
Hell yeah.
Last minute switch up. It was like, well, we gotta make it make sense. You said you gonna roll with the punches, or gonna lay down and take an ass.
I like that you said that. Make it make sense. A lot of people will talk to me now. They be like, "Yo, we gonna do something when it makes sense," and I be like, everything that I do, I make it make sense. I may have to take a little from here and put here, or I may have to be like, "All right, I can't do this, but I can do this." Like, I'm gonna make it make sense. Hell yeah.
The crazy part is, our first option was here to do the party.
Really.
But I wanted to do a little. We was talking about our first. This was the first location. I was like, "This is here," and then I was like, "Nah, we can do it here." And it was like, "We're gonna do it at Champ City," and then Champ City, and then we was like, "Oh, we're gonna do it downtown," and then downtown was like perfect.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then last minute,
the way you explained it, you was like, "Nah, they gonna walk up the elevator, go around." I was like, "No." And I was like, "Damn, Z4, where's that? Where's that?" I RSVP'd the first week. It didn't happen. I was like, "You know what? I'm here.
There was a lot of people that really.
I'm coming again.
Right.
Everybody looked at the 30th for the show, and then you know they got to reschedule again.
I was so ready. I didn't get to make it, but yeah, I heard they had a great time.
There's no real. There's always obstacles, but I feel like I take certain stuff differently. Like I look at it like, okay, you either gonna lay down or you gonna get down. Paper soldiers.
Yeah, speaking of obstacles, I heard you mention, like, I think you said something about these were the problems that you asked for. Like, how did you, like, execute through those things, moving to L.A., you know what I mean? Like, how was that transition for you? What did that look like?
Especially just coming out here.
Yeah, because I'm telling you, a lot of people don't make it, and they go right back home.
Yeah,
I mean, not like that.
And that's part of my answer. Listen. On the East Coast, I had a troop that I ran with. You know, it was four of us. We four boys from Jersey, and we all feel like we funny. And I would say to any young comedian, like, are we good? I would say to any young comedian that
Covey. Oh, that's a good. Yeah,
I would say to any young comedian that like find like-minded individuals to rock with. Like, it's and don't be afraid to invest in yourself and invest in your growth, because like I had a 4-man troop that I was running with. So 3 other guys. So even though we're all in our early 20s, when you got 3 other people to lean on, maybe I got the money this week, maybe you got the money next week, but every week we can go to New York.
That's a real game.
Every week we can go to Philly. Every night we can do 4 mics a night, when and our people in our town can only do 1 every night. Now, maybe you the funny one tonight. Maybe I'm the funny one the next night. Maybe you the funny one this night. But we all are iron sharpens iron. We're all cutting our teeth.
Yeah.
And we all got to a point where we could hold our own. And it's a shame to say, but egos got in the way. Mm-hmm. Like we are still cool enough to speak to each other. But it's like, hey, what you do, ain't really what I'm trying. Everybody got different ideas of success. And I love that you said that, because you was like, how you still around? Because, like, we all moved out here. And the third one just fell off the horse and is like, yo, I'm moving back. No, I moved out here. So let me not jump ahead. Mm-hmm. So before I moved out here, I had a job. Like I said, I had a little money. So once a month, I could afford to maybe a weekend, maybe 5 days, just go to a different city and find the land. Figure out the I can go to Dallas, I can go to Atlanta, I can go to Chicago, I can go to Phoenix, I can go to LA.
Your mindset to do that though.
I could be like, okay, can I go from open mic to a real stage in 1 weekend? And I got good at it. I was good enough to go to open mic and they'd be like, hey, I want you to be on my show. I was good enough to go to that show and figure out, oh, okay, who's the owner of this spot? Hey, you should come here to do this. I could go to the club. I was good enough to figure out the lay of the land, and that gave me the confidence. The last trip that I took, I was LA before I decided to move. So I come out here and, all right, I'm not ashamed of this. I'm not bad looking. So anywhere I go, I can figure out a place to stay. Okay? All right?
I said I'm not ashamed of this.
If I need to, I can use it. But I don't use it for that. But here's what I'm saying.
You use it during Christmas time, you know.
Exactly. That's why I got on this wool sweater.
Winter season.
Come on, baby. Let's go.
But so I came out here, and like I told you before, my friend is now an established rapper. Mm-hmm. He's an established producer. So he decides that, I don't know if y'all listen to the Joe Budden podcast.
Yeah.
This is Joe Budden's final rap tour. And he's doing Rage Against the Machine, and he's in L.A., and everybody's from Jersey. So Zombie's one of the producers that he's fucking with.
Okay.
Fast forward, Joe was using this nigga to get at Drake because he was fucking. And I was just like, damn, I didn't even see the 5D chess that he was doing. Man. But we're all staying at the Hollywood Hills in the house. And I'm like, oh, shit. Oh, damn. All right. I can come out here, get my mics off in L.A., come back, chill with y'all, see the vibe. I met Leon Thomas. We played Taboo and shit. This nigga, it was mad cool. Dude. You know what I'm saying? It was a dope-ass vibe. DJ Damage. Everybody was there. Yeah, yeah.
The network.
Yeah. And I'm there. I'm just scruffy. I'm fucking fresh off the, you know what I mean? Ain't never been nowhere. Like, I think I had on fake Jordans. I ain't even gonna lie, bro. And Joe called me out. We in the green room at the show. He's like, I ain't never seen them Jordans before. I'm just like, yeah, man. He's mine. He's mine. He was nice, though. He was like, oh, all right.
Not limited edition.
Here's where friends fuck you up, though. Okay, so I play the piano.
Yeah.
There's a piano in the house. So my sleep schedule is all fucked up. And at this time, I really like to, it just calms me down. Mm-hmm. And I wake up early in the morning. It's like 6 a.m. I don't know Joe Budden at this time. Mm-hmm. But he's an early morning ass nigga. So I wake up. I'm early in the morning. I'm in the piano room. I'm getting my shit off, playing my chords or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he comes in the room and he's like, who's in here? And I was just like, oh, shit. Do you need me to stop? Because I'm fucking, yeah, I don't want to get kicked out.
Right, yeah.
And he was just like, nah, shit is beautiful. And I was just like, all right. Mm-hmm. So then I keep playing. And then now I'm about to go do my mics. It's probably noon. I'm smoking. And he comes out there and he's like, you do comedy? And I was like, yeah, about to go do some mics. He's like, well, what do you want to do with that? And I gave a dumbass answer and he gave me some game. I was like, well, honestly, I want to be in mainstream rooms. Like, I don't want to be a Chitlin Circuit comedian. He's like, really? The Chitlin Circuit is where you're going to find people that fuck with you.
Right.
That's where you're going to find your audience.
Right.
And those next 5, 6, 7 years, I realized that. And that's now the only reason I can be in mainstream rooms. But so I'm like, oh, word. Thank you for that game. I just left it at that. I'm not a chat your ear off ass nigga. I'm going to my mics. I go to my mics. I come back. And the first person to greet me when I came back in the house was Joe. He was like, how was your mics? And I was like, oh, it went good today. Now, I didn't know what happened.
What you mean?
Joe found out I was a comedian.
Okay.
So he asked my man, Mike Zombie, oh, your man's a comedian. My friend's my friend. I love him.
Mm-hmm.
He played a video for him. I did the Apollo, and I bombed.
You did the Apollo?
I got booed. No. I got booed.
He played him the Apollo.
He played me getting booed at the Apollo. And I was like, nigga. Am I the sacrificial lamb? Nigga? Like,
damn.
I was like, nigga, what?
Wow. So you got Sandman.
I had too much dignity. He had the cane, but he wasn't pulling me.
Welcome to another episode of Open Bar Podcast, where the conversation is never on the rocks, but it's straight up no chaser. Today, we're excited to introduce you to a refreshing new sponsor that's sure to quench your thirst and elevate your palate, Stintino Sparkling Water. Imagine sipping on the vibrant flavors of Italy with every bubble. Stintino offers three unique and mouth-watering varieties that will transport you straight to the Mediterranean. First up, we have the Sicilian Blood Orange. This isn't just any orange flavor. It's infused with anise, fennel, and basil, and sweetened with the finest Italian grape sugar. It's a symphony of flavors that dances on your taste buds. Next, there's the Sicilian Cactus Pear, an exotic blend that combines the subtle sweetness of cactus pear with the bold notes of strawberry and black pepper. And yes, it's sweetened with Italian grape sugar, ensuring a naturally delightful taste. Finally, we have the Amalfi Lemon, a crisp and invigorating choice that pairs the zesty brightness of Amalfi lemons with fresh basil, all sweetened with Italian grape sugar. It's like a sunny Italian afternoon in a bottle. Don't just take our word for it. Experience the effervescent magic of Stintino Sparkling Water for yourself. Visit stintinosparkling.com to explore more and place your order today. And while you're at it, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow us on Instagram at openbarpodcast-was, and visit openbarpodcast.com for the latest updates and episodes. Stay tuned, stay refreshed, and keep the conversation flowing. Welcome to another episode of the Open Bar Podcast, where the conversation is never on the rocks, but it's straight up no chaser. Today, we're excited to introduce our sponsor, Tequila Gran Diamante. If you're looking for a tequila experience that epitomizes luxury and excellence, look no further. Let's start with their award-winning platter. Crafted from the finest estate-grown agave Tequilana Weber, this tequila has a captivating blend of wafting scents, including spices, slight vanilla, vegetal, and floral tones, all balanced perfectly with rich agave notes. Its medium weight body and silky, buttery, velvety texture make every sip a pure delight. The platter rests in stainless steel for 23 to 28 days, ensuring a flawless finish. Next, we have the Reposado. This remarkable tequila also uses the finest estate-grown agave Tequilana Weber and rests in French oak barrels for 8 months, enriching its character. The Reposado is bursting with flavors of spice, pepper, balanced agave, butterscotch, and caramel. It offers a medium weight body with a buttery, velvety texture, complemented by a slight wood and smoke essence that delivers a refined and unique taste. Finally, let's talk about the Añejo. Aged for 18 months in new French oak barrels, this full-bodied tequila features a luscious body and satiny texture. It offers smooth hints of muted spice, pepper, and oak undertones, which taper down to a thoroughly enjoyable finish. The Añejo has a refined bouquet of aromas, including butterscotch, cinnamon, nutmeg spices, and hints of chocolate and cigar. Its slight wood and smoke essence provide the character and nuance found in older Añejos. So why wait? Elevate your tequila experience today by shopping at tequilagrandiamante.com. Don't forget to follow the Open Bar Podcast on all social media platforms to stay updated and book your spot for our next episode. Visit us at openbarpodcast.com. Cheers to great conversations and even greater tequila.
Walked off before. Like, so he played in this video. So then after that, I hang out. They have like a game night or whatever. Mm-hmm. We're hanging out. I'm having a good time. We're playing games. And the next morning, he's an early morning ass nigga. And so I'm smoking and he's smoking and I don't have a lighter. So I'm like, hey, you got a lighter? And so he gives me the lighter and I'm like, hey, you want to smoke with me? And I know I'm not a chatty patty ass nigga, but we smoking together. And just in the midst of smoking, he was like, I fuck with you, man. You got the courage to fail. And I was like, God damn. And I was just like, all right, cool. And I just left it at that. And then by the end of the trip, we're outside. He's like, Zombie, you got cool friends, man. Y'all should hang out with me more often. But then the Drake shit happened with him and the beef. Then he got caught in the middle. The relationship sever. Mm-hmm. You know how that shit happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it was...
You gotta roll who you roll with.
Yeah. It was an experience that let me know, okay, I have the confidence to go to any city. Hey, put me anywhere on earth, I'll triple my worth. Like, I can figure it out. Right. I can find, you know, my lay of the land. And so then I get my shit together. I get my affairs in order. And I'm about to move to L.A. And I told you this before. This was Christmas. I'm trying to move on New Year's, January 1. This is Christmas, December 25. And I get a little too drunk and I break my leg. And I'm like, what the fuck? I break my leg. I break my leg in the dumbest way.
Drinking accident. Wait. They get that. Nah.
There's I'm gonna tell you accidents. Why. Well, I'm gonna tell you why. Nah. Okay. Close.
Okay. I'm like, what were you doing?
I'm an anime nerd. Okay. All right. And at the time, I'm maybe 24, 20. I'm 25. I'm super into Naruto. And fucking, I'm drunk, but I'm trying to do some spinning jump wheel kick, and I'm land wrong and crack my fibula and like and the fucked up thing is I'm to the point I'm almost to the point of blackout drunk.
Yeah.
So now I don't even know that my leg is broken. I'm just like, damn, why the fuck I can't walk. Like we go into holiday parties. And like I said, I'm at the age I'm with my friend who's a rapper. Mm-hmm. So we outside and my leg is broke. And I'm like, oh shit. We get out the car, I'm falling down and shit. I'm like, damn, this nigga picking me up. Like, what's wrong? Normally, I'm the trusty, sturdy friend.
Right,
like,
right.
Damn, nigga, I can't even walk. He's like, yo, you okay? You need to go to the hospital? I got too much pride. I don't know if it's trauma. I was like, nah, just take me to my bitch house. I just need to be with her. She'll get me right. So then I'm over there, and I don't know, my leg is broke, but I'm like, fuck, I'm talking about like my leg. And she's like, yo, do you want to go to the hospital? And I'm like, lay the fuck down. I didn't even know I was like this guy. I'm blacked out. She told me that this is what I'm saying.
Right.
But she's, I'm like, lay the fuck down, all right? Drunk. I'll be all right in the morning. I finally wake up in the morning. I'm like, oh, shit. My shit is broken. So now I'm in the hospital. I'm still kind of hungover. I call my mom. I'm in the hospital. I don't know. So now, nope. I said I was 25.
Mm-hmm.
My birthday is December 4th. That month, I turned 26. That's why I was ready to move.
You just fucking got...
Yeah. I just turned 33. Thank you, man. Thank you, man.
Happy belated, man.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, December 4th.
Mm-hmm.
It's December...
Yeah. That's like a week later. But
did I tell you happy birthday on your
birthday? You did. I appreciate it, too.
Oh, shit.
I appreciate it. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I just turned 26, and if you don't know, in America, after 25, you are off your parents' health care, okay? You got to figure that shit out for yourself. And now I'm 26, and I just broke my leg. So I'm in the hospital, and the doctor is like, well, what you got, a doctor can see in a week. I'm like, what the fuck, nigga? I just got to have, I had an air cast on, bro. You know how you have like a strong ankle brace when you hurt your shit?
Mm.
I had that on for a week before I got my real cast. And I called my mom. I'm like, hey, I'm at the hospital. She's like, what? What's wrong with you? It's Christmas. I'm like, yeah, broke my leg. She's like, broke your leg? What the fuck is, I was like, nah, it's all good. And I told her about the girl I was with. She's like, She's a good woman. And she's like, all right, well, as long as you're with her. I was just like, oh, all right. And I hung up. And I don't know why. I looked at the doctor and I asked him, this is something I need to talk about with a therapist. I asked him, hey, have you ever read Oedipus Rex or Oedipus the King? And that's a story about a guy being in love with his mother. Mm. But I felt like I did need to call her and just like let her know I was good.
Right, and she was like,
all right, nigga, I know who you are. it was, you know what I mean? Why was I so drunk thinking about that? So then I break my leg. So now I got
to
get another sales job, bro.
And now I got to get
a sales job with a broke leg. So I'm fucking limping in interviews and limping at work. I'm limping to go get lunch. It's Chick-fil-A out there. I'm trying my best to get across that parking lot. I'm just like, oh, my God. That's 100 feet, but that's a lot of feet right now. Uh-huh. So now I'm still trying to do comedy shows.
Yeah.
So now with a broke I'm fucking, leg. I got crutches leg. Up there. I'm fucking up there like.
Bro, I got hard.
Don't nobody give you no sympathy laugh. Don't nobody give you sympathy laugh. No, I got a chair. I got the broke leg on the chair. I got the fucking.
Bro, to do that though, that's crazy.
And I'm not doing. I'm not doing hole in the walls. I'm now on the East Coast. I got a little bit of name, so I'm doing corporate events. Okay. I'm doing like, hey, these are holiday parties for this, and I'm just up there like. The fucked up part is though, at this time I'm throwing my own shows at holes in the walls. Gotcha. Like little strip club basements, maybe a hookah lounge or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm throwing my own shows, and at these type of shows, when it's your show, you may have to regulate.
Yeah.
Okay. Definitely. And I got the boot on. You can't really regulate with the skinny leg. You know what I mean? The leg wasn't in shape yet. So now I'm like, hey, chill. Niggas is knocking me over. I'm like, oh shit. So after the leg heals, it's finally July, 6 months later, I moved to LA. I saved up maybe like $2,500.
So you didn't move January, you did June.
July. Yeah, I had to wait that 6 months because I broke my leg. I needed it to heal. And I got the cast off in like maybe 6 weeks, but it was the skinny leg. Nigga, I was like, no, I'm not going out there.
Grab my strong leg.
I was like, no, nigga, I got to get in the gym, nigga. Let me go to Planet Fitness for a couple weeks.
Okay.
So I move out here, and luckily I got a little money in the tuck, but I paid my friend to move out here, my friend who's a producer.
Right.
He already lives out here. I paid him 3 months rent to just stay at his spot and sleep on his couch in January. Mm-hmm. So that shit, he was like, oh no, you can come out here. So in 3 months, that's what I'm saying, anywhere I go, I can use this. But anyway, for that 3 months, for that 3 months, I was like, hey, nigga, you either going to make it or you going to make it, okay? Because
either way, it's either grind time or grind time.
Because this is the thing. My mom is super proud of me now, but like, at this time, she's like, what are you doing? You got a good job. What are you doing? And she was like, all right. She didn't even say bye to me. That's why I was like, yo, it was almost like when I told her, I was like, yo, in a month, I'm moving to LA. She's like, no, you're not. You're not allowed. And I was just like, what? What are you talking about? She's like, who are you? And I was just, it's already paid for. And she was like, well, you already go on your trips once a month. Why can't you just do that? And I was just like, nah, that's not even what this is about. So then when I left, she didn't say bye to me. Take my Ubers at the airport. I'm going now. It's July 1st. I'm out here. It was so poetic how I landed. I pull up. Now, I told you, I'm staying with my friend. He's working with Big Baby Drum now. Broccoli. We go over. He's got some Airbnb. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, pull up on me. We over there. As soon as I land, whole room full of pianos. I get to get my shit off. And they like, can you play? I'm like, not good enough for y'all to ask me. So please don't ask me. I just want to do comedy. But like, so then my mom told me, hey, you'll be back in 6 months. I bought you a brand new car for when you move back. So I took that as, I'll never come back.
No. So even mom's was like, you coming home?
Yeah. Her and my granny was like, all right.
Use that as motivation?
Let's get him a, you know, something so when he realizes. And I was just like, what?
Damn.
So then, fast forward 6 years later, like, you know what I mean? You go through open mics. You go through getting your spots at the club. Like, this weekend that just passed, you saw at Flappers, we did the Kenan Thompson Presents. So, how I did that, it's a showcase that they do all around the country, you know, every city. But I did the one.
Cut you up, bro. Oh, shit, my bad. You be grinding.
I see so many
flyers go up. I see so much shit go up, bro.
Yeah,
you
man.
You be grinding.
Hell yeah, man. And how that happened, I told you last time, but, like, it's kind of like when God feels like you're ready, he'll give it to you. Mm-hmm. You just got to show him that you're willing to work for it. But
work for it. I went to, what did I see you at?
That hole in the wall? Like, hell yeah. Shout out to Accidental Chaos.
Yeah, it was.
That's a tradition they'll understand.
What
they doing here knocking on the walls and shit? Nah, but yeah. It was like 4 in the morning. He was up in that motherfucker going.